For a long time after my mother's death, I found myself reflecting on her final years and how much the aging process had changed her. Mum was always a bold, strong-willed, independent woman. Years before the women's liberation movement, she had insisted my father pay her for her work as a stay-at-home mother. She diligently invested her savings in energy stocks, so that at the time of her passing she had a sizable estate. She was comfortable and well cared for to the end. But financial stability couldn't give her what she lost in her last years, when her health failed and her friends disappeared one by one, a zest for life. She told me once, a few years before she died, that she wished her life would just end. "You can't mean that, Mom," I chided her, but in my heart I knew she did mean it. For my mother, and for many other women of her generation, aging was an act of gradual disappearance, not a bang, but a whimper. And so she faded away, in spirit and in body, for years before she finally left us. Her death brought me face to face, for the very first time, with my own mortality. Soon after came the third event, when one of my best friends was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. She and I once spent long hours chatting over good coffee, discussing books we'd read and places we'd visited, fantasizing about adventures that still lay before us. Now I visit her in a nursing home. I do most of the talking. Every once in a while she pipes up and tries to convince me to move in. "We could have rooms side by side, and you don't have to worry about a thing here." This is hilarious and sad at the same time. Taken together, my injury, my mother's death, and my friend's diagnosis had a powerful effect on me. These experiences convinced me that I did not want to spend the last months or years of my life withering, waiting to die, or in any way being less than who I was. But in the wake of so much loss, I wasn't certain how to cope. I fell into a slump. I allowed my grooming to slip and stayed inside my apartment. Why bother keeping up appearances? I was officially an old woman. One evening, while watching an episode of Game of Thrones, I heard one of the characters describe the three stages of womanhood as maid, mother, and crone. I wanted to throw something at the television. Maidenhood, in the Shakespearean sense, was decades behind me, as were my childbearing years, which left only one option. A crone. How awful, I thought miserably. What do crones have to look forward to other than mushy food and leather-bound back issues of Reader's Digest? Over the ensuing months, I let myself wallow in a post-midlife melodrama. My family became concerned that I was falling into a depressive state. I love them for their concern. I have battled interwoven bouts of depression and mania my entire adult life, but it wasn't depression I was suffering from. It was a sense of restlessness. I had a dreadful fear that my best years were behind me and that my most important future contributions to the world could be summed up in two words: free babysitting. And then, one afternoon, I had an epiphany. I was sitting on the couch in my living room, looking through old photographs and reliving my blithe, carefree years of maidenhood and motherhood. I saw photographs of myself in designer clothes and expensive furs, traveling the globe as the First Lady of Canada. In other photos, I saw my unlined face laughing into the camera, surrounded by baskets of produce I'd grown at the summer home I once enjoyed at Harrington Lake. In still others, I danced with Andy Warhol. The events had happened an eternity ago, and yet I remembered the circumstances of each photograph as vividly as if it were yesterday. A thought passed through my mind. I'm never going to have a little bookstore in a country village in England. Followed by another one. I guess I'll never be a great actress. I shoved the photo albums onto the coffee table and started listing all the things I would probably never do. It's possible that I cried thinking these things. I did warn you about my inner teenager. But as I wrote, a strange thing happened. The longer my list grew, the lighter I felt. Because at some point I realized that, in fact, my chances of becoming an Olympic skier were firmly behind me. I really was 65. I had 15, possibly 20 years of good health ahead of me. When you are 16, 15 years feels like an eternity. When you are 65, it feels like a summer. Sufficient, but wouldn't it be grand if it were longer? Something I can only describe as a profound determination rose up inside me. I had to make this remaining time count. And for the first time in my life, it dawned on me that to truly savor the moment, I would have to start planning for the future.